Amen. Well, we have a few scriptures to get through this morning, and hopefully we can get through them all. Will y'all have faith with me today that we can get through those? We're going to continue talking about winning at the game of stress. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a winner. Everybody say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. And what we're going to deal with today is going to kind of start on a new topic with this, but we're going to talk about relationships. I said we're going to talk about particularly relationships that help. Amen. And we need to have relationships that help, right? And one of the things that I could say to you this morning is that people matter. Amen. Everybody in this room matters. Everybody in your life matters. Amen. And at some point, it's because of relationship. It's because of, not every relationship is a good relationship, right? Right? I mean, some relationships are just fantastic. Can I get an amen? And then other relationships, I don't know if I can say that. Can I say it? Are y'all sure? You know, so other relationships kind of like herpes, you know. You can't get rid of. I'm sorry if that was too much. Not that I would know anything about that. Amen. But you understand, there's just, you know, there's some people who come in your life and you want them to stay, and there's other people who come in your life and you wish they would leave, right? But be that as it may, people are important, amen? And Rick, can you turn me down just a little bit, buddy? I think I might get a little bit too loud here in just a moment. So watch this. We were created, designed, and planned by God for relationships. You got to believe that. Genesis chapter 2, verse, that's too much. I'm sorry, man. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, look what it says. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to what? Be alone. I will make a helper who is just right. Everybody say, just right. Maybe some of us haven't found the one who was just right. Maybe others have found the one that was just right. Amen? I think some of getting the just right part really doesn't occur until after some time has passed. Right? It's kind of like what they say about wine only gets better with age. Amen? And so it's one of those things that, you know, relationships require commitment. So the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a lot of different things concerning relationships. So let me just say this to you. I'm not saying that we need a lot of people in our lives. Amen? Most of us over the course of our lifetime will only have about 300 to 500 people that we'll actually know. And it's not that we'll have some sort of significant relationship with all of these people, though. However, relationships that matter is not based on how many people you know. Rather, it's based on the quality of people that you know. Amen? Just a little side note right here is that anytime God gets ready to promote you in life, he's going to always send a person in your life. God promotes through other people. Amen. And the reason he does that is because it's in people where the capacity to love another person resides. And God is a God who is love, moving through the avenue of love. So therefore, he has to move through people to bless you. Amen. He chooses to move through people to bless you. So see here, I don't have to have, so it is kind of the way that I like to think of it sometimes, is that I don't have to have a relationship with many gods. I really just need one relationship with one God. Amen. It's not that I got to be friends with everybody and have these deep, meaningful relationships with everyone. I just need a few good people in my life. Amen. But we should know how to have relationships with other people. We can have many people be a part of our lives, but the quality of your life will be determined by the quality of the relationships that you have with other people. One of the greatest tools that you can learn in life is know how to have relationship with other people. Can I get a better amen than that? So, you know, if God blesses you through people and you have an attitude or you have a nature that runs other people off, it could be that you're running off who God is trying to use to bless you in your life. Amen? And so we got to learn how to get along. Come on, hit your neighbor one time and say, you got to get along with me. You just got to get along with me. Right? Now watch this. When we go through stressful times, God designed us in a way that we would desire to seek the help and comfort of others who will provide support and encouragement during our stressful times. Amen. We showed a video here just a while back about stress and what it does in your life. And one of the things that stress does is it releases a hormone called oxytocin. Am I right about that? Did I say that right? Does everybody know what that is? This particular hormone is only released during stress. And it's really what doctors call the hugging hormone. It's the hormone that whenever you go through stress is released that causes you to seek out other people to get a hug. Now, God made you that way. If you take the spiritual component of it, what God did in doing that in the physical was put within you a desire created by this hormone to want to go get a hug from God when you're going through difficult times. Amen? Other people can help you get through the hard times in your life, and it's a natural reaction for you to seek the help of other people. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's one of the works of the enemy to isolate you so that whenever you're going through something difficult, he wants you to think that you're the only one that's going through this. After all, it's your fault anyway. Amen. If you would have been a better person, if you would have been a better this, if you would have been more perfect, you wouldn't be going through this. And really, it's not necessarily you, but God is causing this to happen to you. Do I have a witness? Sometimes we feel that way, that God is causing the problems in my life. Now look, God is either blessing you or he's cursing you. Amen. Either God is on your side or he's not on your side. But I've read the scripture where it says, if God be for me, who can be against me? That he came to give me life and that more abundantly. So I answered the question years ago, well, on what side of the fence God lived on, and I'm living on his side of the fence. God's not the one trying to hurt me in my life, and I never will be perfect. I will never do everything the right way all of the time. Amen? And I have to be okay with that. Amen? If God took me as I was, then I understand that he took somebody that was broken. He wants to work in my life to improve my life. Amen. He wants to work in my life to improve my life so I can keep moving and growing as a person. But I have to understand that sometimes in life, I'm just going to go through stuff that don't make any sense. I didn't cause it. I didn't make it happen. But because life is just hard, I'm going to have stressful times in my life. And I should never bow to the will of the enemy in going and trying to find a place to hide. Amen. But go find a group of friends and have relationships with people that whenever I go through stuff, they're there to encourage me and to support me, praise God. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about four different types of relationships here in just a moment. But let me just simply say this to you on a side note. Make sure that when you know someone who's going through something stressful in their life, that you're the one providing encouragement and answers rather than condemnation and complaints. Amen. Make sure that you're the guy, make sure that you're the woman who is a solution to the problem and not creating more problems. Amen. And one of the ways that I can say this is that you have the power to help someone make life work, or you can be the someone who helps get in the way of somebody that needs help. Amen. And oftentimes what happens within church and with religious folk is that they believe they have a God-given mandate to obstruct people from getting out of their stressful situations because they believe they broke the rules. Amen? Does everybody understand what I say whenever I mean that? You messed up, so you ought to get what you're getting. Amen? And watch this. Sometimes people do make a mistake. Oftentimes people do make the mistake. Do you know the biggest enemy you fight in your life is not the devil? It's that person that you're looking at in the mirror every morning. You got to deal with that person first. Can I get an amen? And if you don't learn how to master that person, you're going to always be challenged in advancing your life, because at the end of the day, you have to step into your authority that God has given you, and that is firstly over yourself. Amen? We can never seek to be a blessing to other people if we haven't learned to be a blessing to ourselves. Love God, love yourself, and then love others. Amen. Submit yourself to God, take control over you, and then go out and serve other people. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we have to learn how to live in that part of our lives, praise God. But oftentimes what happens with religious people is that, you know, they read their Bible, they read the Ten Commandments, they read the rules, they read the restrictions, and what ends up happening is whenever people break one of the rules, well, then all they want to do is judge them. Amen. Instead of realizing that God designed you to be in relationship with people, most particularly people who have challenges in their life, so that you would be a hand up and not the one pushing them into the pit. Amen. Now we have to stop right there, because you have to make a decision in your life who you're going to be in situations whenever you come across people who are in conflict in their life, in stress in their life. Are you going to be the one who helps? Or are you going to be the one who hurts? Amen? Now, if I go back and I look at the life of Jesus, I can see very plainly that it didn't matter to who they brought to him. Everyone they brought to him, he always helped out of the situation that they were in. Amen? Matter of fact, if you look with me over in Matthew chapter 12, let's go over there really quick, and I'll give you a story here of what the Lord did. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 10, if you're there, say amen. I need a few more people, praise God. They'll have it on the big screen, or you can pull it up on your phone, whatever you need to do there. And it says here in verse number 10, Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says, then Jesus, verse number 9, he went over to the synagogue where he noticed a man with a deformed hand and the Pharisees. Now, whenever I say the Pharisees, who does that represent? That represents the religious people of Jesus' day, right? It says, the Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? Now look at the question. Does the law, does the rules, the restrictions, permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? Now, I would think this, that if there was any way for somebody to get healed, I would have no problem with somebody being healed on any day of the week. That makes sense to us, right? But it says here in parentheses, he says, they were hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges against him. They were hoping that he would say yes, because if he said yes, he would be breaking their rules. And then he says in verse number 11, and he answered, he says, if you, speaking to the Pharisees, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? And he says here, of course you would. Verse number 12, and how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Amen. So sometimes what people do is they have high value for their rules and low value for people. Amen? And they use their rules to bring condemnation and judgment on a person, that thereby causing more pain in the person's life, more stress in the person's life. Whenever he says here, watch what he goes on to say, how much more valuable is a person? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Amen? So bring it down to this here. Always be a person who's willing to do good. I had a man years ago come to me, and he sat down in my office, and he says, you know, man, I need to talk to you about something. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, the only reason I'm going to talk to you about what I'm fixing to talk to you about is because I know that after I tell you what I'm doing, you're not going to judge me. Because I had always, and I have always said that as a minister, I said, I will never judge you over what you're going through, because I don't understand the life you lived that took you to that place. Amen? Come on, let your neighbor say, you can't judge me. Now watch this. I don't judge you. I may not approve of what you're doing. Amen? Now I will go on to tell you this, it wasn't a young man, it was an older man actually, and he told me some stuff that just blew my mind. And I mean, you got to be kind of having a story if you're going to blow my mind, because I've heard a lot of stuff, right? And I mean, he was doing all kind of crazy, insane stuff that was impacting his family and impacting other stuff. And he was exactly right. After he got through talking, I didn't judge him, but I began to share with him how he could come out of that if he wanted to. And I would tell you today that that man lives free today, because I didn't try to cover him up in his pit, but I tried to help him up out of his pit. Amen. Sometimes it's not about being the smartest person, the most intellectual person, or being the person who's the most righteous in the room. Sometimes it's just about being a good person. Amen. We ought to just be good people doing good things. And it's not that hard to do. Amen. We can do good things by helping people. He goes on to say here, it says, verse 13, then he said to the man, he said, hold out your hand. And so the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other one. Now, how many would be rejoicing in having a church service up in that place then, right? Man, this guy's hand's all shriveled and the Lord heals it and he does it on a Sabbath. Who cares about what day? But it says in verse number 14, the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus. All because he did something good, but he broke their rules. Amen? So we have to make sure, church, that as a church and as a group of believers, that we're not on the side of the fence that says we have our rules and our rules are more important than your pain. Amen? Because you just don't know how a person gets into what they get into. Amen? And it's not our job to judge them. You say, well, Pastor, why is it not our job to judge them? Well, number one, the Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, Matthew chapter 7, he says, don't judge lest you be judged. Amen? Now, how many of us in here want to start being judged by our actions? Because what we do is we judge ourselves by our good intentions. I'm a good person. I meant to do good. I did bad, but really, it's not as bad as other people think it is because, after all, I'm a good person. I have good intentions, but we judge others by what they do. Amen? And whenever God has called us not to judge them, but to help them, and he says, do this. He says, if you're going to choose to judge, he says, what you need to do is take a moment and get the right perspective and understand how can you talk about the speck in somebody else's eye whenever you have this log hanging out of your eye. Amen? I see that I don't own heaven and I don't own hell, so I don't have the right to judge who's going to either place. I didn't die on the cross for anybody's sins. Jesus died for those sins. And whoever accepts Jesus belongs to Jesus. They don't belong to me. Can I get an amen? Go with me over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 simply talks about arranging your relationships. Everybody say arranging relationships. There's some people you can have close in your life. I really believe that that in your life, that your inner circle really only consists about 3 to 4 or 5 people, right? And then it gets larger and bigger as it goes out. But the people who really influence you really in your life should only be about 3 to 5 people. You know why it should only be about 3 to 5 people? Because the more people you tell your problem to, the more they're going to tell other people. Amen. So keep it on the short list. Amen. And he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter, where did I say turn 6? Look at verse number 14. It says, don't team up or have a relationship with those who are unbelievers, right? So we as Christians should understand that we should primarily seek relationships with those who have been born again. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to go to the same church. We don't have to be in the same fellowship. But if we're going to have influential relationships in our life, it should at least be with other believers. Amen? Because I will say this, that it's possible for a person to get connected in a relationship where they're being influenced by an unbeliever. And if you allow that relationship to go too long, that unbeliever will influence you out of church. Amen? So I want people who are going where I'm going, believing what I'm believing. Amen? So that we can work together. Can I get an amen? He says, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers, separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. So really just in the overall context of that scripture, he's saying you need to pay attention to the relationships that you have in your life. Amen? You need to pay attention to who you're allowing to influence you. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't be friends with people who don't go to church. I have a lot of friends who don't go to church. I'm working on them every day, praise God. Amen? Because I've decided they're not going to influence me away from God. I've just made up my mind about that. I'm not leaving God. Can you say amen? So if they're in my life and they're there for a reason, I'm always trying to influence them to come into church. Amen? And we never stop that work. Can you say amen? But really our focus here and what he's telling us here is that we need to look for quality relationships with those who are going to have the greatest impact on our life because we are designed to be in relationship with one another. Amen? Has everybody got that? If you do, say amen. Now let me give you my 4 types of relationship. Number 1. You ready? If you're ready, say I'm ready. four types of relationship. Number one, we have what we call, or what I'm going to call, survival relationships. Survival relationships. Now, this type of relationship occurs when people think they cannot make it on their own. They would rather be in a bad relationship rather than in no relationship at all. Amen? It's where they decide that I cannot be by myself, I cannot be alone, and then, so therefore, I'm just going to take whatever comes through the door. Amen? Only to find out that the first thing through the door generally is a devil. Can I get a witness? Right? What they end up doing is they jump from one relationship to another relationship to another relationship, and they don't understand how that they can have a person with a different face, but they are still facing the same devil. Amen? And so for all of my single people as I am, let me just say this to you today. You've got to learn to be okay by yourself before you bring somebody else into your life. I don't need somebody else to make me whole. I don't need somebody else to make me complete. I'm good with God. God made me whole on the inside, amen? And we have to learn how to do that. And I could even say for people who are in relationship with one another today is that you have to be okay with you as a person. You don't need somebody else to make you feel good about yourself, which is really the second relationship that we deal with is what we call the validation relationship. The validation relationship. And this type of relationship happens when people need other people to make them feel good about themselves. So they learn to manipulate others in order to build their self-esteem, and the relationship is about them and not the other person. Amen? So what happens is they learn how to manipulate other people to feed their insecurity. If I can get with that person, if I can be with that person, then it makes me feel better about myself. And usually this type of person generates around money and sexual stuff in their relationship. They can be with the person, then that validates them as a person. And we shouldn't have validation relationships in our life. Colossians chapter 2, and I believe it's verse number 6, it says that we are what? It says that's not the one I wanted. I wanted verse number 10. Come on, turn over there with me real quick. This is a scripture that impacted me years and years ago, and it's in verse number 10. And what does it say? You got that for me, Hannah? And it says this, verse number, I can read it right here, Colossians 2 and 10. It says, so you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Amen? So this word complete simply means to be made whole. Everybody say, I'm whole. Now listen, if you feel broken and if you feel like you're not whole, that's not because that's really how it is. The Bible says that the reason I'm whole is because of my union with Christ. So whenever you became a believer and you accepted Christ Jesus into your life, you became a whole person. Amen. So, okay, let me hold your place right here. Back up with me to Colossians chapter 1 and go with me over to verse number 22. Go with me over to verse number 22. And I'm sorry, let's go verse 21, 22, and 23, all the way to 23, if you would. Verse 21 says this. He says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, everybody say now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. So let me ask you this. Has Christ died on the cross? Have you believed in him? Well, then the Bible says you are already reconciled to God. Amen? That you have come into Christ. Amen? Now watch this. As a result, you see that right there in verse 22? Look, and it says, everybody say as a result. As a result of what? As a result of what Christ did for you in him dying on the cross, he was able to reconcile you once you believed. As a result of this, he has brought you into his own presence. Where did he bring you? Into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a... Now that's what you really are. Holy, blameless, and without a single fault. However, it only works in your life if you follow up with the next verse, and it says this in the next verse, but you must continue to believe this truth. and stand firmly in it. What some people don't realize, they don't realize what Christ has made them, therefore they're not able to believe in who they are, in that they're complete in Him. How do I know that you're complete? Because the Bible says you stand before Him without a single fault. Everything that was necessary for you to be made whole, Christ paid for it both on the cross and in His resurrection. And whenever you're born again, you are born again in holiness, righteousness, without a single fault before Him. But you've got to believe it. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, why do I have to believe it? Because you may have things in your life that are contrary to what the Scripture says. So what you're... The things in your life that are contrary to what the Scripture says are not the truth about your life. The truth of your life is in who Christ has made you. Do you know that you can be broken and whole at the same moment? That you can have a life of brokenness, you can have a life where it seems like you got a lot of faults and you got a lot of issues, but that has nothing to do with who you are in Christ Jesus? You are who He says you are, regardless of what your experience is. Well, I need you to hear that with me today. That's why you have to believe in what He has said about you and not what you're doing to yourself. Because the moment you begin to believe in who you are in Him, you'll begin to change some ways that are in your life that takes you in a different direction than who you are in Him. But you got to believe that I'm without a single fault. You got to believe that you're holy. You got to believe that you're righteous before God before you'll ever begin to change those things in your life that look differently from what He says you are. Amen? Everybody say I'm holy. Everybody say I'm righteous. Everybody say I'm without a single fault. And it's because of that in Colossians 2:10, it says this, you are complete. Everybody say Everybody say complete. Now, if you go look in the King James, that word is going to mean whole. Amen? How many knows what an apple is before you take a bite out of it? It's whole. Amen? So you're whole. You're complete. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything that you need and who you are is complete in your union with Christ Jesus. So I don't need to manipulate other people to make me feel good about myself. Amen? I don't need to try to jump in bed with everything that moves to make me feel good. I don't need a man spending his money on me. That's a little mixed with the ladies right there. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have went there. You understand what I'm saying, though, right? You get what I'm saying. I'm after things to make people make me feel better about myself, and it's just simply not the case. Amen? That whenever I'm in a relationship with somebody, I really began to move into a different level. And my third point is this, is what I call acceptance relationships. Acceptance relationships. And this is to me, is a more advanced relationship. This is where you begin accepting people for who they are without judging and being critical of them. Amen? Now listen to me. Whenever I came on that principle years ago, everybody say years ago? Whenever I came on that years ago, it freed me. Amen? That it wasn't my job to judge people. I did two things, one thing I went to the Lord about whenever we first started the church some 16 years ago, and I said, Lord, I said, what kind of preacher you want me to be? What kind of guy do I need to be in the pulpit? And because I had come up in old school Pentecost, hellfire, brimstone, everybody's going to hell. They even thought they were going to hell. Had to get saved every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Whenever we had a church service, everybody had to get saved. Prayer means you got to get saved again. Because you might have done, I don't know if you knew that you did, but you might have done something that disqualified you. And God had that big old, for me, if he was writing it down and then erasing it and writing me down and erasing it, well, after a while, you just kind of get through the paper with your eraser, right? I mean, there's no place to put my name. Because if that was the case, He was having to put me in and take me out a whole bunch, right? And y'all laughing because y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I said, Lord, I said, how do you want me to be in that? And the Lord spoke to him, and He said, look, son, He said, they don't do what I say. They're not going to do what you say. Amen? He said, what I want you to do is teach the Word of God and let me deal with them. I said, sure enough, Lord. Amen? And what happened in that moment is I was able to stop judging other people and being critical of who they were. I had been in churches where if a group of people from that church went to a conference, they would routinely get letters from other pastors, and those pastors, while they were at that conference, would write the pastor of that church to tell them how badly their people acted while they were away at conference. Which primarily was because the church I came up in, they didn't want you to watch TV. And so what these people would do, they would love to go to conference because whenever they went to conference, they got to stay in a hotel room. And they wouldn't go to the conference, they would stay at the hotel room and watch TV the whole time that the conference was going on. Now, isn't that crazy? But you only find that in Christian groups doing crazy stuff like that. I remember a guy that was in the church that I came up in, and he actually, what he did was he couldn't have a TV in his house, so he went and got a computer monitor. And he hooked up his computer monitor to somehow or another where he could get a TV signal on the computer monitor because he technically didn't have a TV in his house. Now, I will say this. We watch too much TV. Amen? And the TV is the number one, how can I say this? It is a thing that will make you go broke if you watch it too much. Amen? It robs you of your time. It robs you of your energy. It robs you of so many different things. But how crazy is that to live like that? And understanding that we really need to begin to move into this place of relationships in our life where we can just accept people for where they're at. And what that does is that frees me from having to be God's cop. Right? Going around, seeing if you're doing wrong and seeing if you're doing right. Listen, the world is broken. People are dealing with stuff in their life. Amen? I mean, dealing with all kinds of stuff. Who knew that the society that we would live in today would have all the pressures that it has today? Amen? I never understood how that if living life by itself was hard enough, raising kids, careers, jobs, and all of this relationship, having all this, why would we go to church and church would make living harder? Amen? And it shouldn't be that way. We have to move into this place where I think is just the very beginning of what we call acceptance relationship. It's the beginning of honesty and authenticity in my life. Whenever I can be in a relationship with somebody without judging them and being critical of them, I can then become honest and authentic both within myself and them. Amen? For a person to have struggles in their life and for me to simply accept them who they are as they are doesn't mean that I've compromised myself. Amen? Doesn't mean that somehow or another I've lessened my standards in life. That's not what that means. It just simply means that I'm going to be a good person. Amen? I'm not going to let my rules get in the way of me being a good person to other people because God wants me to be a help wherever I go. Can you get an amen? Now, look, number four, my last point here on the types of relationship is what I call the mature relationships, mature relationships. Now, watch this. This is a place where there's no need to use the relationship to make a statement about yourself. It's a place where there's no need to make a statement about yourself. Rather, this type of relationship is a place where you encourage and support others without losing a sense of your own self-worth. Amen? Now, I would be honest and tell you this, that usually whenever a person gets to a place like this in their life, they're usually past 40. Amen? We all know how it is whenever we're younger. Right? Whenever we're younger, man, we're fired up about the world and we're fired up about this and we're fired up about that and we have something to say about everything. But particularly for my older group in here today, haven't you realized that the older that you've gotten, the less some things matter? Right? Things that, man, I would just rip your head over whenever I was 20 years old. I'm like, man, who cares about that anymore? Right? I mean, want to choke the life out of your kids sometimes over stuff that you did whenever you were a kid. Right? And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. My kids taught me several things they taught me in my life, but one of the greatest lessons they ever taught me is that I had to let them become them. Amen? One of the hardest transitions for me, because I was a control guy, right? I wanted to control everything. I wanted to control everything because I had this false sense of an idea that I could control something, and control is an illusion. Amen? You really don't control anything. What you call control is really a fear-based belief that you have in your life that you're trying to control stuff so certain stuff won't happen to you. Amen? And you've got to be willing to let go of fear and understand that you're trusting God, things are going to work out. Amen? And so my kids taught me that as they became, particularly whenever they turned into teenagers, amen, that whenever they turned into teenagers, that they began to develop their own personality. And it seems like overnight, I became the dumbest dude they knew. And their friends who were their same age became the wisest people that they knew, right? And whenever I would say, do this, they wouldn't necessarily do it. Or if they did it, they would have an issue with it and they would challenge me. And I would just want to swoop in, right? I mean, I grew up in a house where my father had died whenever I was young. My mother worked all the time, so she was always under a lot of stress. And whenever you got her to her breaking point, right, four kids in a house. You know, I had a brother who was 7 years younger than him. He thought I was the devil for years because I tormented that dude like nobody's business. That's what you get for coming so late, man. And so it didn't matter who was the one messing up. If you got mama to the breaking point, well, she broke everybody. Everybody got a whooping in the house. Everybody got beat down in the house. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so she believed in that scripture, spoil the rod, you spoil the child. There was no spoiling going on in her house, right? And so I would be like that, and I would just have this anger and resentment and, why won't y'all do what I want you to do and what I say to do and all of this other stuff? But at the same time, I began to evaluate that, and I began to realize that a lot of what they were doing, I did, right? I acted dumb growing up. I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe, but I acted dumb growing up. I did some of those things. I had my own personality. I had my own attitudes. I had all those things going on in my life. And I finally came down to a point in my life where I said, you know what? Either I'm going to be right and have no relationship with them, or I'm going to let them grow, and I'm going to be able, for years down the road, be able to have dinner and hang out with my kids. And I chose the latter. I chose to be in a relationship with my children. So I had to let them become who they wanted to become. Now, they're all grown now, at least most of them are. They're all grown, and we have great relationship. And we get together all the time. Can I get an amen? And that's the way it is in our life. You know, you can go around and judge on people as much as you want to, but until you move into a place of maturity where the relationship is not me losing my sense of self-worth. It's not me losing my identity. I told all of my children, I said, look here, I said, I'm going to always be dad. You do something dumb, I'm going to say it's dumb. That's my job. But then we can go sit down and have a meal because I'm going to let you figure it out. Because after all, life is about learning in two ways. I can learn through knowledge, I can learn through teaching, or I can learn through experience. And didn't we all in some form, some fashion in our growing up have to take the experience side just as much as we did the book learning side? Didn't mom and dad say, don't do that, and you went and did it anyway, only to find out that they were right, but you didn't want to tell them that they were right because if you told them they were right, they would just keep that over your head the whole time, right? But God says he wants us to move into a place of mature relationship where it's not a statement about me. He doesn't want us to manipulate other people. He doesn't want us to be so broken on the inside that we have to survive by attracting crazy people into our lives. But we have to move into this place of learning how to accept people where they're at. You know, the Lord didn't ask, man, how did you get a withered hand? Why are you in my meeting with a withered hand? Why do you come in here broken? Why do you come in here in the situation that you're in? Don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I've got air. I don't need all of this going on around me. But he welcomed him. I love the part whenever the story where it talks about how that they brought the woman who was caught in adultery to Jesus, right? And you would think that Jesus, being who he was, setting the standard of the day, would get up and validate what the scripture said and what the law said. And he did validate what the scripture said. Amen? Didn't he say over in the story that we read about the about healing the man on the Sabbath? He says, yeah, it is in the law to do good on the Sabbath. It was right for him not to judge her over what she was caught in, because I think maybe for just a moment, maybe he said, okay, if y'all caught her in the act of adultery, where's the dude at? Why are you only bringing one? Y'all caught him doing it. Where's the other guy at? It's funny how we decide who we want to judge. Can I get an amen? It could be them brothers didn't want to bring him because he might have known some stuff about them that he didn't want, they didn't want brought up whenever they brought him up there. Can I get an amen? Amen? The Bible says he looked at her and he just simply said, he said two things. He says, let the first that's without sin, let him throw the first stone. Amen? That's beautiful. I mean, that was like wisdom from heaven right there, right? He turned it back on them. Because he says, look, if you're going to start throwing stones over sin, well, I'm going to need to pick up one for you guys. And then he said the second thing that this is what set her free. He says, look, where are your condemners? He says, I don't condemn you either. Amen? One of the things that the religious people hated about Jesus is that he would routinely sit down with tax collectors. You know, it's just people who had issues with money. He would sit down with prostitutes. But you tell me, if you knew Jesus walking around today and he went down to the corner and they're all out there on the corner and he sat down and had a conversation, how many of y'all would want to throw Jesus out of church? What you doing talking to those people? Why are you with, because those are the people that need to be talked to. Why are you in relationship with those people? Because those are the people that we need to be in relationship with. We sometimes seek for purity in our relationship and only want to get the right people, not understand that God really wants us to go out into the highways and the byways and find those who have been beaten, bruised, and robbed by life and be the ones who help them back to the place of strength and encouragement, praise God. And can we not do that? Is that not our role? Look what he says over in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, I'm going to take y'all to some more scriptures in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's a great, great scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 7 says this. He says, I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case. I'm in the right place, right? Yeah. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. And so really what he's saying here, he's saying if it's just about you and nobody else, he says there's really not a lot of meaning that you can get out of your life, even though you can have a lot. Amen? A lot of money doesn't buy you happiness. Amen? A lot of things don't buy you pleasure. He says really the crux of it is in verse number 9, he says two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Now, we're going to deal with that scripture a little bit because really, if you want to know what a meaningful relationship can do, it can help each other succeed. Amen? He goes on to say here in verse 10, he says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. He's saying that whenever you learn how to develop relationships in your life, it advances your life. It moves you forward in life. And I believe that these relationships that he's talking about here can be anywhere from a married relationship to a friend relationship to family relationship. These relationships being together can move and advance you in life. Can you get an amen? Amen. Turn with me over to Amos. And if you don't know where Amos is at, it's on page number 737 in my Bible, or you can just look here on the screen. But it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, he brings another point to us here, and he says this, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Amen. He's simply saying this, that how can two people be in a relationship unless they learn how to agree with one another? And one of the things that we'll learn here in the coming weeks is about meaningful relationship is that really I think there's a few things about relationship that are important. Number one, if you're going to be in a relationship with someone, it first starts with the value. Everybody say value. You got to value the person. Amen? You got to have value for the other person because what you value, you respect. Amen? You don't respect anything you don't value. Right? Y'all remember how it was whenever you bought that brand new car? Man, you loved that car. We should never love cars anyway. We can appreciate things, right? But I had a Camaro here a few years back. I came close to loving that car. I came real close to loving that car. But it was a great car. But it doesn't matter. After about 6 months, guess what? you've made 6 months worth of payment on something that you used to love now. And any time a speck of dust or a speck of rain or whatever would just hit your car, you get all freaked out and flipped out. You just wash your car and you're driving down the road and the road is wet and you're trying to find a different way to get to your destination just simply because you don't want you, because you have value for that thing. Because you have value for it, you respect it. Amen? Now what you respect, ultimately, you trust. See, you can't be in a relationship with somebody if you don't value them, because then you won't respect them and you'll never be able to trust them. Amen? And what you don't trust, you'll never be able to agree with. See, a lot of times, the reason people who've been together for a long time are in such conflict, it's not because the conflict is greater than the relationship, it's because they stop valuing and respecting and trusting each other. Amen? So they started treating them differently after they'd been with them for a while. Amen? And so what ends up happening is that they no longer respect. Matter of fact, whenever they want you to do something, you kind of get upset with them now. Whereas before, whenever she said jump, you just wanted to know how high. Right? But somehow over the years and 40 pounds later. Right? And you're just so locked into that TV show that you're watching a rerun of for the third time. And they say, let's take out the garbage. And you're trying to find every excuse and every commercial and everything you can not to do that. Right? And then you end up having this huge blow up over a bag of garbage. Can I get an amen? Right? And so what you don't agree with, you'll never be able to move into the next place, which is the place of blessing from God, which is this thing called unity. The Bible says that in the place of unity, God commands the blessing. Amen? The blessing will never come if you can't learn how to be unified in your relationships. But that can only come through you being able to agree with that person because you respect them, you trust them, you respect them because you have a value for them. The people in your life need to be important to you. Can I get an amen? So he says here, he says, how can they walk together without agreeing? And then we come over to another scripture here in Matthew chapter 18. Turn over there with me quickly. Where's Toto? Toto, go ahead and come on. Back up. Shoot, I thought I'd done good. I thought I got y'all out before 11:30. Come on, go with me over here to, where did I say Matthew? Matthew chapter 18. Love Matthew chapter 18. Love the whole Bible, actually. And but Matthew 18 is a beautiful scripture here, and actually I'm going to give you three here, 18, 19, and 20, because I believe that it lays out a process, and we're going to look at, on Wednesday night, we're going to look at some more different types of relationship, and then we're going to look at some different ways to begin to apply these relationship insights into our own life so that we can really transform some things that are going on. This verse number 18 says this, Matthew 18, 18, he says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And he's really, what he's sharing with us there is the authority that he has given to us as believers. If you read that in the Amplified version of the Bible, do you have that in the Amplified? I think we have the Amplified. If you take just a moment and pull that up for us. But the Amplified version kind of renders that in a different way that I like very, very much. Let's look at this one more time in verse number 18 in the New Living. It says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid, everybody say what I forbid, on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you what? Permit or allow on earth will be permitted in heaven. Amen? Do you have it up? Almost? Okay. And he goes on here in verse number 19. Just let me know whenever you get it up. He says here, I also tell you this, that if two, how many of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask my Father in heaven, he will what? Do it for you. Amen? You got that for me? Now look what it says here. I like the way it says this. He says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and lawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. So you see the different rendering of it, the different kind of translation of it. He says here, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So really what he's saying here is that whenever you're allowing and whenever you're forbidding, he says you got to first go see if this is on heaven's agenda. And once you know that it's on heaven's agenda, then you forbid what heaven has already said no to, and you permit what heaven has already said yes to. Amen? rather than just sometimes we go around and we bind and loose and we loose and bind just over anything and everything. But he says, really what you need to do is find out what heaven has said about it first. And the only way to do that is find out through the Word of God. And once you find out what it says through the Word of God, he drops us into verse number 19. He says, I will tell you this, that if two of you can agree on what heaven has already said, amen? If two of you can agree on what heaven's already said concerning, he says, asking the Father, he says, he will do it. But he says it begins first with learning how to agree with other people in relationship. Amen? The most important relationship that you will ever have in your life starts with Jesus. Can I have an amen? The most important relationship you'll ever have in your life is Jesus. I believe the second most important relationship begins with your family. I'm sorry. The second most important relationship begins with the relationship that you have with yourself. Right? If you're not whole and if you're not complete, if you haven't come to that place where you're beginning to repair the broken places in your life, you'll never move into a place where you can give to other people out of the overflow that's in your life. Amen? Let's all stand for just a moment here this morning. And today was more of a teaching day as much as a teaching preaching day. And so so who knows how all that comes out sometimes. But I want to challenge you for just a moment here this morning, if you would. Let's bow our heads for just a second and or just a moment. And I just want to challenge you this morning and maybe just look back over your life and consider the relationships that you've had. Amen? Consider the broken ones that you had and things of that nature. And, you know, I just thought about this. I had a man who came to the church this morning. He didn't stay for service today, but he's a man that I've known for a long time, and we haven't talked for a long time. And he just showed up today, and he came back to my office, and he said, man, he says, you was on my heart yesterday. We probably haven't talked in close to a year. And he just said, man, you was on my heart yesterday, and I just wanted to come by, and I just want to see how you was doing. And I remember I just hugged his neck, and I said, man, I appreciate you thinking enough about me to just come by and just let me know that I was on your mind. And I would just ask us here today, is there some people that God puts on your heart to just reach out to, just to love? Now look, you don't have to go buy them flowers. You don't have to go buy them gifts. You don't have to do any of that stuff. But maybe there's a phone call. Maybe there's a note that you can write. Maybe there's an email that you can send. Maybe you can just drop by and just let somebody know that they matter and that you're happy to be in relationship with them. I take you over just one more step further, and I would say this. Maybe somewhere in your past, somebody's hurt you in a relationship. It's caused you to become vulnerable in your relationships. It's caused you to be a person who seeks to be validated. Because somebody hurt you in the past, you seek to be validated today. Or because somebody hurt you, you want to manipulate people today. You've given up trying to get into a mature relationship. You're just so broken on the inside. And let me just share this piece of wisdom with you this morning, that if you ever want to repair the brokenness on the inside of you, it begins first with forgiving the person who hurt you the most. And I know, as crazy as that may sound, and as much as the pain may scream back at you and say, no, this person deserves my hate, they deserve my anger, if you want to be free, you've got to forgive them. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I don't need to know what they did. God commands you to forgive, because unforgiveness is what keeps you trapped in the pain of that experience. And if you can begin to forgive, you begin to unlock the door to the prison that's been keeping you there from being able to enter into another meaningful relationship so that you can enjoy God's best while you're in this life. And Father God, we just come together in this place today. We understand the importance. We understand the impact of what it means to have a meaningful relationship with other people. We ask you today, Father God, that you would touch each one of us individually over past relationships that we've been hurt by. That, Father God, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts toward anyone or anything, we're releasing them now in the name of Jesus. Come on, do that with me, church. I want you to do that in your own prayer. I release them now in the name of Jesus, that I might be made whole. because it's my desire, Father, to be a person who can engage in the right relationships of people who are in stressful times, to be encouragement and support to them the same way other people have been for me. We ask you today, Father God, as a church and as a people, that Father God, that we would be the same way as you were, Jesus, in how you dealt with people and showing love, kindness, compassion, and mercy in all that you did to people who didn't deserve it. We give you praise for that today, Father. We give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. If you love him, say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand here this morning. Pastor Carlos, I'm going to allow you to be seated. Pastor Carlos is going to come receive this morning's tithe and offering. And everybody say praise God. Man, we get to give into the kingdom of God. Amen.